Welcome to the Dogs and Deadlifts, Building Better Dogs podcast. If you like a podcast that is raw, unfiltered, and authentic, you have come to the right place. Our goal is to bring clarity around canine fitness and conditioning. We help people ignite their dog's performance and build better dogs. Join your host, Daniel Rose, as we discuss fitness, nutrition, and mindset for dogs. Let's do this. Are you lacking some clarity around dog nutrition, dog fitness, or scent work? You are not alone. Learn how to ignite your dog's physical and mental performance, safe, systematic, and injury-free. Yes, you can improve your dog's physical and mental performance and achieve amazing results following the Dogs and Deadlifts programming. Because this work is not just about you, it's whom you do it with. We understand you want to make sure your coach is the right fit. Get access to certified canine athlete specialist coach and owner of Dogs and Deadlifts, Daniel Rose. And you can figure out how to get the results you're looking for, whether it is your dog's general behavior, athletic performance, or sports scent detection. Book your 30-minute free online discovery call with Daniel today. The link is shown in the notes below.
So welcome back to another episode of Dogs and Deadlifts podcast. Today we have from the Sunshine Coast. You're not around the world this time. Mickey from Wolf and Wagon on the Sunshine Coast, Queensland. How are you going?
Hi, Daniel. Thank you for inviting me over. I'm very, very excited to be here. Not many people will notice, but this is my very first podcast.
Yay! Fantastic. Super excited. A lot of people, when I reach out to them, they're like, oh, I've never been on a podcast. What do I, what do I need to do, etc. I suppose the beauty of the Dogs and Deadlifts podcast is that we're super casual. We just really have a conversation. And for me, the conversation obviously revolves around health, well-being, scent work, nutrition around dogs. So therefore, we align quite well.
Yeah, suits me too. Casual is good.
Fantastic. So what I'll do to start with, can you give us a little bit about, about yourself, a little bit about your origin, where you're from, where you grew up, and how is it that you made it, to the Sunshine Coast, Queensland?
Sure. So I am originally from Estonia, from Eastern Europe, but I have been in Australia for about 10 years now. And I am one of those weird kids who used to just wander about the forests and bushes with my dogs. There was none of this dog training or anything. We just had, dogs. We had dogs all our lives, and they were the farm dogs. And then you had your own dogs. And I had two very specific dogs that had a big impact on my life. Mm-hmm. And it was all, if I think about back to it, it was all about just the relationship and trust. So yeah, I used to wander around with my dogs, and we didn't really do any obedience or anything like this, but they just kind of brought me into the dog world straight away. Mm-hmm. And then I obviously made my way over to Australia, living in rental places and things like this. I was very concerned about getting a dog. So I didn't have a dog for a very long time. It was about 9 years, actually, it was exactly 9 years because I was counting until I got a dog. So I was waiting for it. When me and my partner, we bought a house, then we were finally able to get a dog. So it was given to me as a present, and I got this little 7-week-old puppy. And things kind of started from there. I took this puppy to this awesome place for a foundation training while we went away for holiday. So I left the dog with National Canine Academy. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, I was just so impressed because they gave me this video of how they did things with the dogs. And I was just really impressed looking at them, how they trained the dogs and all these things. I was no trainer or anything like that. Then I started attending their group classes, the canine classroom. Then I started volunteering for the National Canine Academy, and it kind of just started from there. Then the owner, David, he offered me a job there. Then I started working in the kennels as an animal care attendant. And things, yeah, kind of escalated from there. And I did my NDTF course, and now I'm a dog trainer. Yeah, I do. I still work with my own dog as much as I can, but I also run group classes for Bad Foot in Batcherim as well. So dogs are now my life.
Yeah, it's funny how that and the same thing happened to me. You know, I said, oh yeah, I'll just get a puppy, and then you know, next minute I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm doing seminars, workshops. Yeah. You know, I just jumped all in. You know, and for those that don't know, here in Australia, the NDTF National Dog Trainers Federation Cert 3, which is one of the organizations that many dog trainers here go to get a qualification. We don't have the luxury of say Europe and the US in regards to having multiple nationally accredited courses, so they're one of a handful of courses that we can do here in Australia. So it's a course that I've completed myself, and that one that I believe is right up there worldwide in regards to their education for aspiring dog trainers. So moving on, so you landed yourself on the Sunshine Coast. You've jumped in, you know, head first, you know, volunteered, become a dog trainer, and then I suppose, tell me about the concept of Woofer Wagon and the mobile, I call it a mobile dog gym. You know, some people may call it something else, but let's talk about how that concept came about, and how you went about that.
Well, I somehow ended up on TikTok, and I saw this video on TikTok. This is how Woofer Wagon became to be. I saw a video on TikTok, and it's the guy in America. I know. Yeah, it's a good story. Mm-hmm. It's the guy in America who runs Run Buddy Mobile, and I just saw all these dogs absolutely loving it, just smashing the meals, and I was just like, wow. Especially coming from working in kennels, and working with lots of behavior issues and lots of dogs who just got so much frustration in them. But people, you know, they no longer take them to walks or anything like this because they're just so concerned about their own management, handling, and the dog's behavior, obviously, as well. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would be absolutely incredible if we could get those dogs on those meals just to, you know, get some of that frustration out of them. And I also just love the fact that just dogs are having fun, and it happened really quickly because it was pretty much at the same time I was going through a separation, so there was a bit of cash coming in from that as well, and I thought, okay, I've got a choice now whether I will try to find a place to live as normal people would do, or I would just, you know, buy a van and some treadmills and see how I go, and if anything goes wrong, I'll just live in the van. So I did. I bought the van. I got in looking into searching for the van, and then I was researching for the meals, and I was asking around. I was very lucky to be around lots of dog trainers. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people already knew about what to recommend to me, what to keep away from, how to go about things like that. So I've been quite lucky in that sense. Mm-hmm. And it was I think it was the time when we had all these floods and everything was happening. So there was a lot of delays once I started actually talking about getting the van and ordering the meals and stuff. So there was a lot of delays. So everything took quite a long time. I registered the business in November, mm-hmm. and I had my first paying mm-hmm. customer in May. Yeah. So it was a big gap in that sense. Mm-hmm. But once it started running, it happened pretty quickly.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, like if you we'll talk about where to find out more about your business a little bit later. But, you know, if you look at, your social media, especially your Instagram, I love your Instagram. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
You're doing stuff on a day-to-day basis with obviously clients, with rescue groups and stuff like, you know, so it's fantastic to see your, the development. And, like I said, I enjoy it. I love it. So, just tell us a little bit about, I suppose, you know, a lot of people that do listen here, obviously they love their health and wellness and fitness for dogs, but they're also trainers as well, you know. So do you want to, you know, there's a bit of a gap in between, and but how was it, you know, I've known of Slap Mills for, you know, for quite a number of years, you know. You know, how has I suppose, the concept been taken? You know, I believe that, you know, based on, you know, trainers and things like that, things are going great, you know, going great. But, you know, can you tell us about, you know, how you had to introduce people to the concept and what their initial thoughts were?
As I said, it has been very lucky that I've been surrounded by all the trainers. So once I did, the meals arrived before the van, actually. So once the meals arrived, I started inviting lots of trainers over just to come check it out. And so we can kind of brainstorm together as well. There was a big influence listening to lots of podcasts. And obviously, Jay Jack, who's been on your podcast as well, listened to your podcast on that subject as well. So just started researching, but because it was quite a new thing in the area, so everyone were naturally intrigued and wanted to try it, which was good for me. So I did a lot of that with lots of trainers so they can try their own dogs and hopefully see the benefits, see how it is, and then they could start maybe telling about it to their clients and see, because then they know which clients to even recommend it as well. Mm-hmm. So that started very nicely as well. And there was no issues that anyone was really concerned. At the beginning, there were a few, it was very, very minor, a few marks, like people who didn't really understand the concept, but I've only had it maybe 2-3 comments and that's it. Now everyone else has just been very, very welcoming and just, wow, I just want to try it. It looks so cool. It looks so fun. It's been very positive. The feedback and the welcome into the community has been incredible.
Yeah.
The other thing was, what I really wanted was, I didn't want to start off, once I finished my NDTF, I didn't really want to get into becoming a dog trainer, as in such. So I wanted to be something that's kind of connecting all the dog trainers so I can work with all the dog trainers, someone that brings them all together as well. And we can do stuff with our own dogs, obviously, as well. That's always a thing. But just to offer them this opportunity to bring it to their clients. That was my kind of main idea.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and I see the concept, you know, especially throughout the US, you know, I wouldn't say the list is a mile long, but there's quite a number of, you know, people that have taken this concept and, you know, adapting it really, really well in the US in particular. So, you know, I would say that, you know, you're obviously yourself is a very handful of, you know, if not the first one of here in Australia, you know, and anything for me, anything new at times, you know, and I love that, you know, your enthusiasm and then your courage to jump in, you know, to the deep end and sink or swim at times.
Yes, I'm a little weird like that. If you don't try, you don't know, right?
Yeah, for sure. Look, I agree. And like I said, I 100% you know, behind you for sure. But I wanted to just sort of segue for a little minute. So like you mentioned earlier, there was been the, you know, you had the fortunate to be able to talk to other trainers and, you know, people that have been in the industry for quite some time. So that obviously, did that make selecting your equipment easier, do you feel?
Yes, definitely, Gus. I got to talk to people who had actually tried several different meals. So it was very, very, very good for me. Because I wanted to make sure that my equipment is something that will actually see me through. I couldn't afford to set up something that's not going to last or will fall apart under me, because that would be kind of the end of it. So I had to make sure that my van is good quality, that the meals are good quality, that the harnesses, that like I couldn't really afford to go for the, I don't know how to say it, affordable option. I had to make sure the quality was my priority. Also to make sure that all the dogs are safe as well. But if let's say my van gives up, that's me out of business, because it's going to take a little while to transfer everything over to make it suitable.
Yep.
And if my meals give up, I'm lucky I have two big meals. So if one goes, I can use the other one, but I haven't had any issues so far. So I'm very, very lucky with that sense.
Yeah. We'll talk about your the brand and things like that, that you went with shortly, but while I'm thinking of it, so it must've been about 6 years ago now, slat meals were really hard to get, right? So you could either buy, a very, very expensive meal from, import it from the US from Dog Trotter, or a slightly cheaper version. I mean, a lot cheaper version, from the Philippines. Now, I was one of the fortunate enough ones to receive the order that I placed from the Philippines, but it was a piece of shit.
oh, wow.
It didn't go together properly. It was just, it was terrible. And it landed in the, I thought that I paid for the, my impression was that I paid for everything to my door. I got a phone call from customs saying, hey, we've got a treadmill, we've got a package here for you. You need it collected by the end of today. And I'm like, I paid for shipping to my door. And I lived, I think at the time, 12 hours drive away. It was a nightmare, absolute nightmare. And like I said, when I got it, it didn't go together. We had to modify it. It was just, a piece of crap. And I'm very, very lucky that, I lost a lot of money on it, and I still no longer have that today. But I'm lucky that I received the actual meal compared to some friends and colleagues that never, ever received their meal after putting deposits and stuff down. So I'm not going to, name their company, but, out there, especially in the emerge, in the last couple of years with, mills and slat mills in particular becoming popular, I highly suggest that people do a little bit of research on their brand of mill that they're looking to consider and make sure it's going to have the suitable features and or function that you want, and also that you get it. So what mills did you end up going with?
I ended up going with Firepole. I got them through Einsweck DocWhip, and these were the ones that just kept coming back as a recommendation of for the quality and also the ease of use as well. Yep. And that's what I needed. And obviously, when I contacted Jason Fermin from Einsweck as well, it was just so helpful. It was so easy to deal with as well, because, like I said, I didn't really know what I was doing. So I needed someone that who was reputable, that I can ask questions, who can advise me. So he was very upfront and honest about everything. He let me, he troubleshooted a few things, and we figured out a few ways how we can actually get the meals to fit in the van. So there was few adjustments done to it as well. So it's been very good. I've been very, very, I suppose I can say lucky, but at the same time, I did my research. I went something that was well known, that had a good reputation.
Yeah.
It was absolutely worth the money, because I've heard lots of things, to be mindful and careful about, just like your story as well. And I just putting everything I had into this project, I just couldn't afford anything to go wrong.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I understand. So you purchased did you get two large meals?
I've got two large and one mini meal.
Mini meal, yeah.
Yes, a mini meal.
Yeah.
My lovely mini meal is my piece de resistance for my social media. It doesn't get too much use in regular basis, but when we do like markets or setups like this, then it does get a lot of use, because we've got a lot of small dogs who come and socialize, and they're always happy to jump on, and it is so cute.
Yeah, that's it. I got a Frenchie, and I'm sure he'd love the little mini meal.
I actually got it thinking about the Frenchies, but all my Frenchies, they run on the big meal. They're too wide. They're too chunky and wide, and they're easy as on the big meal.
Yeah. Interesting. That's interesting.
I've had a cat on it.
Well, I haven't. Certainly, that's new. I haven't had a cat on mine. But Romeo, my little Frenchie here, he runs on my large mill, not a problem at all, you know. So it's interesting that that they're, you know, obviously they're too, a bit too wide for the mini mill. But like you said, a little,
they run it, no problem.
Yeah, cute, but cute, eh?
I'd say more like your mini foxes and dogs like this, the skinny long ones, they would be good on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Very fragile. Maybe a chihuahua. Yeah. I would love to get a chihuahua on it.
We'll see if we can find one. The you know, so you know, I've seen your setup. You know, we've you come along for a workshop that I did up there locally, and you know, I always sort of joke around about you know, how sexy you know, your mills are, and you know, I was stroking them and stuff like that, just like a brand new car. You know, they're certainly a very, very nice piece of kit. So how long did it take from the time that you decided on make, model, sizing to when they landed?
I am a very impulsive person, so the decision to order them didn't take too long either at all. I don't really remember the specifics, but for them to land, it was actually when they, if you heard about, they had a fire in the manufacturing plant. So my order was in while they had this fire in there. So that kind of set things back for me a little bit. But I was so busy with everything that was going around, I didn't actually even pay attention to it. But I know that I must have ordered them at the beginning of the year. So it wasn't too long. It was a month or so, a few months. Nothing crazy. But if you do any suggestion for anyone, if you want to set it up, just really, it will take time because they do come from Europe and they are custom made for you. So things like this, it's very understandable. It takes time. And I was happy to wait. I wasn't in a hurry at all.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, the mills arrived before the before your van anyway, yeah?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked out perfectly and I could test them out.
For sure. Is there any particular reason? This is just a random. So, you know, obviously the van, it's air conditioning, climate controlled, it's a, you know, it's a nice van. Compared, did you ever consider, and this is just randomly, ever consider a like a trailer or a slightly different setup or design?
I actually didn't. Funny you mentioned that. There is a guy who does run it from a trailer. He's in Brisbane, and we started up about the same time. And we talk a lot on over social media as well, and we're yet to still meet. I would love to meet him up. We've been planning on it. But he does run it on the trailer, so the sides lift up as well. And he's got 1 mil in there, so it's totally doable. I wanted the aircon and full insulation specifically for the noise, because I wanted to be quiet to go in. If you think about the new residential areas, they are so packed with houses, and if I'm running, you know, rocking up early in the morning, I wanted to be quiet for everyone, because some dogs, I am all about letting the dogs to express themselves on the mill. Go to town if you want. You know, some dogs get so excited, they bark, and, you know, whatever they want to do, I'm happy for it. Just let it all out. And having the van that I can fully close and it's fully insulated, it was very important for me. And obviously to have that air conditioner as well, because it does heat up very quickly once you have a dog running on it, because the body heat just heats it up so quickly.
Awesome. And what other sort of equipment? So I think we might have mentioned harnesses before as well. So you have a particular harnesses. So clients don't provide their harness. Do you provide the harness for the dogs?
I tell them that they are more than welcome to use their harnesses. I just have some recommendations of the what they should look like. So I do prefer the Y harnesses as well. Just so I tell them that, you know, the no pull harnesses aren't suitable, but I do have harness for anyone. More than welcome to use it. If I see them rocking up with a harness that I can see that is going to constrict their muscle movement, I'll just say, nah, well, let's just use mine. Or if they're very skinny, some they come up to say, oh, that's exactly what you described, but they're really skinny ones. It's easier for me just to use mine, because I've got sizes for two sets for any size, and I know that they're going to last. I know that they will be safe, and I know that the dogs are comfortable in it as well. So I mainly use my own. Some trainers, they obviously have a really good harness already because they do a lot of like similar things,
Yep.
agitation work. So they have their own. So they're more than welcome to use it.
Yeah, and you went with was it Duradog that you went with for those?
Yes, I used Duradog harnesses
Yep.
and some collars as well. So if you've got some crazy dogs, I like to have, you know, we've got the fastest dog is 45.2 kilometers an hour.
Yeah, awesome.
So for him, I like to have also the white collar on as well, just as a double safety. Anything goes wrong, something gives up, you know, just double safety always as well.
Yeah, and that's generally a two inch collar that you like to use there. I'm a big fan of 2 inch, you know, 2 inch.
Yeah, a nice white padded one.
Yep. You know, but generally I prefer, as you mentioned as well, to work dogs on the harnesses compared to say just a collar, just because of the you know, the access, the breathing, etc. The potential restrictions on it, even on a wide collar only, can have some impact as well. So I prefer to work dogs exactly what you mentioned there on a harness that has no restriction on the shoulder mobility and or movement, you know. So that's you know, something that we've talked about and I talk about quite a lot in regards to canine conditioning and fitness, that you know, that front shoulder mobility is you know, is not restricted whatsoever.
Yeah, it's very important as well. You can easily see as well if the dog is uncomfortable on the meal. That's kind of defeats the whole purpose as well.
Yeah, for sure. Things, you know, do, you know, this is just, once again, just another random thing that just popped into my head. You know, like I always just check nails, you know, before the dog's jumping on the meal. Do you make that a requirement for owners to have, or do you do that when you get there, or combination of both?
It is a combination of both. So I tell them they have requirements to come into a session. So the nails have to be short, cut nicely trimmed. Obviously, they shouldn't eat at least 2 hours, an hour beforehand as well. Depending on the dog, they shouldn't eat after. So I always tell all these things to them as well. And I do offer nail cutting myself if they say, you know, I haven't had time, or they come in and they ask me, do you think they're short enough? And I say, oh, you know what, we'll have a little bit of a clip. So I do have clippers. I can do it on the spot. If I'm running my regulars, I've got a dog, for example, that I run 3-4 times a week. So I take care of the nails as well. And it's just included for them. I just regularly, sorry, I trim the nails as well. So it's all done. I can make sure that the dog is safe on the meal.
Yeah, awesome. So if you know, if I'm just a regular person and want to you know, engage your services, do you do a like a first session where you can get to know them, get to know, you know, what their goals, and also you know, conduct a bit of desensitizing around the mill before you, you know, jump into sort of 3 or 4 days, you know, times a week, you know, big packages?
Yeah, so I've got a few different options on offer as well. They can purchase just a one-off. So I can go there, we can sort it out, have a look how it's going, one or two dog, it doesn't matter. And when we start, while I'm getting the dog to have a look around in the van, they're sniffing and getting used to it, I run the owner through what's about to happen. But I've done a lot of work before we actually meet up. So I tell them a lot what they should expect, what they shouldn't expect, and how they work and all these things. A lot of people are following my social media as well, so they have a fair idea what's about to happen as well. And I run them through everything, but I don't do a separate session where I just go and talk to them and see. And now it all depends on the dog, depends what they come for me. But I find that out before the session, whether they're coming to me for confidence building, whether they come to me for just get some exercise out. So I get that information before we actually get to the session, and then I know how to approach the session from there as well.
Yeah, awesome. And you know, like I said earlier, that you've you know, I've seen you do you know, sessions with, you know, trainers' dogs, and that you know, people that I know and are friends with as well, right through to you know, you go to a local rescue. Yeah.
Yes, I do go there. I started off going weekly. At the moment, it's been a little crazy lately, so I've been going fortnightly, but it's the Sunshine Coast Animal Refuge, and I, as much as I can, depending on the day, whenever I've got a bit of a gap, they're not far from me, so I can hop in there, and we just run a few dogs on the day and get them get them on the meals. The volunteers there are so lovely and they always help me out. It's been very eye-opening to do that because mm-hmm. it's quite easy to run dogs, especially trainers' dogs, because mm-hmm. they have the background of learning how things go and they're quite confident and mm-hmm. it's quite easy.
Yeah.
But if you go there, there's a reason why those dogs have found themselves in a rehoming situation quite often. And yeah. a lot of those dogs, they don't have any training background. And all of a sudden, they don't have that person that they can trust either. So a lot mm-hmm. of it is built on trust as well. You know, trust me, I can help you through this yeah. scary situation where the floor all of a sudden started moving. You know, trust me, it's all right.
Yep.
They just look at me like, I don't know who this crazy woman is. I better not move. So it's been yeah. incredibly eye-opening, quite challenging. But mm-hmm. with the help of the volunteers, we've really gotten some dogs going. So it's been really good.
Yeah, awesome. And that, I love, you know, you love to see that. And you also see the light bulb moment, you know, and it may not occur in the first session, right? You know, but it may occur a few sessions down the track, you know, but, you know, that that flick of the switch, or what I say, the light bulb moment, is like, holy shit, this is cool. Yeah. And and they start to enjoy what they're doing, you know. I just had, you know, earlier I had another podcast interview with Ashley from Canine Resistance Training, and we're talking about biological fulfillment, you know, and, you know, letting the dogs mm-hmm. Jump on the mills certainly is another category. Obviously, Canine Resistance Training or CRT is one way to do that, but also, you know, so is jumping on the slap mill for sure. You know, it's a fantastic way to fulfill those biological needs.
Absolutely, absolutely. You can see it. If I have any bully breeds on it or any huskies, some dogs, you just see the pure enjoyment of them ripping into it, and just it's just so amazing to see.
I
love it. I could watch them all day.
Oh, 100%. You know, so can I. So I was just trying to think, you know, for me, if there's any other you know, sort of questions, but do you think that, you know, moving forward, that people are, you know, around Australia in particular, embracing this concept, and, you know, would you love to see more people jump in and, you know, create this type of business? So therefore, you know, I strongly believe in that, you know, together we can create more of a difference around the, you know, around Australia, around the world. Yeah. So, you know, I'm always up for sharing concepts, training philosophies, you know, business ideas and concepts as well, you know. So how do you see that?
Absolutely. I would love it to become more common that the treadmills are out there and people see it as a normal thing. Mm-hmm. For any training center, any refuge, any shelters, just even the same, just as a mobile service. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people, like, not all, the reason why people use it, it's just so varied. And I think it's so needed. I've got clients who physically can no longer walk pretty much. Mm-hmm. So for them, this is a godsend gift, you know. There's working dogs who just, you cannot walk that dog. Mm-hmm. You can, but these dogs, they need to run as well. Mm-hmm. There's just, the reasons are just out this window why you should use it. And the more accessible it would be for everyone, I think mm-hmm. the dogs mm-hmm. would benefit at the end of the day. That's why I do it, for the dogs. Mm-hmm. So the more there is, I think the better it would be. Yeah. And I think the community of those mobile doggy gyms is mm-hmm. it's already happening as well. When I started, I had so many messages and comments. I still do. Mm-hmm. Pretty much once a week, I get a message from someone anywhere in the world saying, mm-hmm. you know, they're thinking about starting it up, yeah. or they've just purchased the meal, how to go about it, or I've got this mm-hmm. dog and it's not doing anything. I spent all this money on the meal. So I get a lot of it, and it's been interesting to help them out.
Mm.
Do you want to know my favorite question?
Yeah, of course, of course.
I talk food on the meal. Help, what do I do?
I don't know. It
happens as well.
For sure. 100%. And as much as we, you know, we can suggest to the owners that they, you know, about the food intake and about toileting before they, before we arrive, etc. Shit happens.
Literally, and it hits the
100%.
fan.
So I did see you do a video just recently of pulling the slats off your mills and cleaning them. Is that one of the obviously that may have happened, but is that one of the reasons why people just don't know how what to do when that happens, eh?
Probably yes, because they look pretty daunting to take part and to clean up as well. Because they, especially the, I haven't seen any other mills close by, but the fire pot ones, because they have those little grooves for the dogs to get a better grip as well, and those fill up quite quickly. And if I can pick up on the dog's body language very quickly, so I'm very quick to hit the brakes as soon as I can see it happening, because my eyes are constantly on the dog. So I can tell when it's about to happen. I've become very proficient in catching it in the bag, actually. I can do it on the move. So I've practiced a lot. So I don't have too many issues with that. Yeah. It's sometimes it's little pebbles sneak out without you noticing sometimes. But yeah, I do suppose that's why they ask, because they just don't know what do I do now, how can I take it all apart? Because it will go through all the way. If you have a diarrhea on it will go through everywhere. So it's a big mission to clean it up. Yeah.
But
But
certainly.
I just pull them up regularly, even if it hasn't happened, just to make sure that everything is still working and attached properly, so I don't end up with a dog who's running 45 kilometers an hour and the mule just phew takes off underneath. So I just want to make always sure that everything is tightened and fastened and checked.
Yeah, awesome. It's quite funny that that's a very common question that you get,
Yeah.
right? But I think that creating awareness, jumping on the podcast, spreading the word around slat mills, mobile dog gyms, mobile running businesses, whatever you'd like to call it, I think that I'm very passionate about that, and I believe that I think that we need to see more of them, and I think there's lots of dogs out there can certainly benefit, and if people are more educated, not just clients but also trainers and or people looking to move into this business space are a little bit more educated around certain things, I think that the business will flourish, if we do it safe, systematic, and of course injury free. And you'll hear that or read that on my podcast. You'll see it on my website. I'm all about safe, systematic, and injury free. Yeah, so these are very, very big things to talk about on a regular basis. So if you're thinking about starting, or you're thinking about at home and you want to buy a mill, these are the three key things, yeah, that that you take note of, and that's super important, because as soon as, and I've heard of dogs doing major injuries on these mills because the person hasn't been educated, and they haven't done some warm-ups, they haven't done a number of things, yeah. So like anything, you can drive your car too fast and crash it. A mill, it's fantastic and we love it, right? But you need to get yourself a little bit of education and also talk to people, and make sure that you're going to be safe and also injury free.
Yes, it is. It's actually one of the things as well that I found that I have to constantly tell people, because a lot of people, they just want to see that action and the craziness of dog going. And that is my job, to pull them up and say, okay, let's take a bit of a break, because I can see the signs of what dog is going through and everything, whereas the owners can get quite excited about it, what's happening. And I see the dog, because I, being a person who's done a lot of animal care as well, under amazing people who've taught me a lot, I can pinpoint a lot of things. So it's easy for me to notice when, okay, I think we've got a bit of a limp happening now, or something's maybe pulled, or you can see the dog is, okay, we need to stop that sprint, or this dog is not going to stop, and things like this. Whereas the owner might be like, oh, wow, look at my dog going,
Oh
it's
yeah,
amazing.
for sure, and get
So we
caught
do
and
have to, yeah, we do have to pull the owners up and say, yep, easy, easy.
yeah, and they get caught in that moment, and certainly we all know that dogs are, you know, very, very good at hiding pain, and their thresholds are generally pretty high, you know. So whether that be, you know, if, you know, talking about it with animal physios on my podcast, psoas is, you know, there's a number of injuries that can occur that we don't happen to notice. So dialing in what I call the critical eye to the dogs is super important. And that's around gait analysis, you know, movement patterns, you know, gait. These are things that I believe that, you know, a practitioner or a let's just say a coach, being you being the coach, you know, and myself, are super switched on about. So, you know, if you're thinking about starting the business out there, these are the things that you know, for me, get yourself the right knowledge and the right skill set to be able to dial in your critical eye and have a good understanding of, you know, movement, gait, and, you know, right through to anaerobic and aerobic, you know, energy systems, things like that, you know. But that's what I'm super passionate about, and that's what I, obviously that's what I educate about, right?
Yes, it was really good being on your workshop as well, the one we got to attend with you in Sunshine Coast. It was, I learned a lot from there, and it kind of made me want to learn even more. Because like you said, our eyes are on dogs constantly, and it's good feedback for the owners as well. Quite often, when I give the dog back, I can ask, you know, to say even, you know, the dog's not looking quite the same today, or, you know, we had to finish the session early because something's not quite right, and I can say, you know, this side or that side, because you can pinpoint those things, you can see them, and then the owners go, oh yeah, actually, it's been happening for a while. I was like, yeah, you can become confusing, or they say, oh, I never noticed, and yeah, so a lot of things come out because we see the dog regularly, and we're just watching the dog, so it's easy for us to notice what's going on, and it's good feedback for the owners to say, you know, just pay attention to what's going on, have a bit of a look, and keep an eye on the dog, and they will start noticing as well, and it's been very good.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Let's, you know, let's sort of, you know, we could talk for quite some time, but let's like wrap it up a little bit. So let's talk about your socials. Like I said, I love your Instagram. I'm on Instagram more than say Facebook, but, you know, can you give us your handles, you know, your socials and your website, if people want to find out more about yourself and how they can get in touch?
Yes, absolutely. So Instagram is the one that I use mainly. Most of my bookings and everything do come from there. I am most active on Instagram. And you can find me easily under running dogs _ woofer wagon.
Yeah.
So that's nice and easy to find. Also, I do have a website. Sorry, I said it the wrong way. Woofer wagon _ running dogs. That's the Instagram.
Yeah.
And I do have a website if you didn't get this one. So www.wolferwagon.com.au. It's easy. You go to the web, you can get my Facebook and Instagram and everything, my email, everything from there as well.
Yeah.
But Instagram is the main one that I use. Try to share as much as I can on Facebook as well, but it's mainly there.
Yeah, fantastic.
And you can reach me on Instagram. That's messaging for me is the easiest because I'm mainly running the dog, so I can't really hear to talk, but I get on this.
Fantastic. All right, guys, thank you very much, Mickey, for joining us here on the Dogs and Deadlifts podcast. If you like what you heard today, guys, feel free to like, share, subscribe, and I'll certainly be in touch with you. And thank you very much for listening today.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for you or a friend that loves dogs and fitness? Dogs and Deadlifts has you covered with merchandise and giftware, including t-shirts, hoodies, cushion covers, mugs, plus much more. Head over to teespring.com/dogsanddeadlifts. That's teespring.com/dogsanddeadlifts. Or check out the link in the podcast notes.
Are you lacking some clarity around dog nutrition, dog fitness, or scent work? You are not alone. Learn how to ignite your dog's physical and mental performance, safe, systematic, and injury-free. Yes. you can improve your dog's physical and mental performance and achieve amazing results following the Dogs and Deadlifts programming. Because this work is not just about you, it's whom you do it with. We understand you want to make sure your coach is the right fit. Get access to certified canine athlete specialist coach and owner of Dogs and Deadlifts, Daniel Rose. And you can figure out how to get the results you're looking for, whether it is your dog's general behavior, athletic performance, or sports scent detection. Book your 30-minute free online discovery call with Daniel today. The link is shown in the notes below.